If he's doing anything more than taking notes, he's in trouble. Okay, let's pray. And then let's the whole front side's review, and the back, we're just slowly going into what we introduced last week, so let's look to the Lord. Father, thank you so much for letting us study and just share. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to know your word and to do it, because that's the way that is right and good, and Lord, that's what you bless. Lord, thank you for answered prayer in Annie and Kashi's family as you've worked out the details for their citizenship, as moving forward, giving them the right attorney, even backdating the green cards and all that. Just thank you so much how you've answered prayer above and beyond what we could even think or ask. We do continue to pray that you would help Kashi to see his need of the Lord Jesus as his Savior, and I just pray that he would be open to consider that and open for a visit. Lord, we pray for little Daniel, an 8-year-old boy who has really no family, and I pray, Lord, that you would continue to work in Ben and Valerie's process as they seek to get certified and authorized to be able to adopt. And I pray, Lord, if it be your will, that they would become the parents for Daniel, that you would bring that about and just continue to work out the details there. Thank you for all of these believers, Lord, and I pray that you would just work in our lives as we seek to know your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I think I'm on now. Sometimes I just want to make sure Jim doesn't have to hear me jaw-jack beforehand. So, Jim, we're not leaving you out on purpose. We're trying to bless you by reducing the amount of time you have to listen to me breathe. So anyway, this is another lesson. I think we're in lesson 5 of the yielding following. I think is what they call it. Yielded followership is what I call it. But submitting to authority or yielding to authority is a discipline of a believer that has come to grow up and learn about what it's about. And as we proceed, you'll see how utterly part of the fabric of everything that God has designed, even within the Godhead, there is submission to the Son to the Father, and actually the Holy Spirit to the Son and the Father, as you get that. And so it's just divine. It's the idea of structure and authority and someone being in charge is everywhere in creation. Whether it's inanimate objects where the planets are subject to God's power and they have to be under the authority of the revolutions that they make around the sun or the solar system or whatever, or the natural processes of gravity or whatever. Those are all laws and we're subject to them. But also, God sets every relationship in an authority-follower relationship. And I think back when I identified 17 different relationships, some are human, some are not, in the Bible that are related to submission. Okay, so it's not, a lot of times we think of submission as just the wife to the husband, and that is such a bent view, and it's an erroneous view. It's part of God's plan, but it's certainly not what it's a distorted view if all we talk about is that. Let's jump down to the yielded followership key passage, and let's just read that out loud. The Romans 13, 1 and 2, do you see that there? That's our overall memory verse, and we want to read that out loud together just to become more familiar with it. Let's read it out loud. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those resist will bring judgment on themselves. So God holds authority very key, and he claims that all authority is from him. No one can be placed over us unless God is involved in that. Again, we've shared that there is no perfect or sinless authority apart from God. So all of the authorities that God places over us are imperfect and sinful. So imperfection does not eliminate our authority, and sinfulness does not eliminate that authority either, as we'll see as time goes on. I've had a hard time to know what direction to go first, and I was going to go into more detail about submission and even Jesus' example of submission, but I decided to wait until after we covered these relationships. So we'll just keep going the direction we started last week. Let's review the words here. The New Testament, I call them hupo words. Hupo is under, if you recall. And there's number one and two are related, and number three and four are related. Hupo tasso means to place under or submit to. Okay, and hupo tage is the noun form of that. It's usually translated submission. Hupo tasso is usually to submit to, be subject to. The third word is hupakuo, which is to listen under, or to be listening under, to pay attention to and to follow. Sometimes it's translated to obey or to submit. Number four is the noun form of that, hupakoe, and it's obedience. It's normally the way it's translated. And then hupeko is to yield under. It's used only once, and that's in Hebrews 13:17, which we'll see, to obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. That's the word there, yield yourselves under them, and that's related to spiritual leaders. I'm going to read these observations. I'll probably do this every week if I have enough room to put these in here. But these are so important, and they help us understand what submission is all about. So five bullets here. Each word involves under. It's yielding or submitting. Yielding or submitting is being under others. This is God's idea, and it's a good idea. Each word is something the follower does. Okay, the commands are given to the follower. We're told to submit to authorities, whatever those are. Wives to husbands, children to parents. If you will, an assembly to spiritual leaders. People to governing authorities. We're told to do that. We're to proactively submit to authorities, not be made to submit. In some scenarios, that is the case, like in government. That'll be the case. Parents are to have their children in submission. It means they go a little bit farther than just the children obeying. But the children are to be taught to willfully obey. Bullet number four. Did I read three yet? Each word requires us to willingly yield and to follow another. Those are tied in together, two and three. Each word assumes disagreement of decision or direction. It assumes that we would do something else if we were in charge. We would go a different direction. We'd make a different choice. We think ours is a better idea at the very minimum. At a minimum, submission assumes disagreement by virtue of differences of opinion as to what is the best action, decision, or best direction. To say you disagree with someone is almost a given. That's almost pointless to say that. Of course you disagree. Your choice before God is to follow anyway. Unless what? Unless it's sinful, which means it would violate God's authority. And I would venture to say that by and large, that is usually not the problem. Sometimes it is, but it's usually not the case. It can be, you know, I remember a guy that I had a class with in Bible college. He was a youth pastor at this huge church up in Michigan. And these parents were saying that their child was rebellious. So he went to talk to the child. I think with the parents. Well, it came to light is that the parents were smoking dope and wanted to, you know, there was a, parents didn't quite tell the whole story here, you know. So I'm saying it can happen, and I'm sure it does a lot, but at times, I would say a lot of times, the Bible brings it the idea that you're supposed to obey unless there's a higher authority that's being violated, okay? We're not to do something that we are clearly told or explicitly, it's outwardly told that it's wrong to do. And again, even like different authorities have different realms or different jurisdictions. So just because the government tells you you can drive 55 on this particular road doesn't mean your parents can't tell you, well, I don't want you to drive over 50. They have that right to tell you that. It's their car, you're their child kind of idea. Okay? Each word is present, it's presented. I need to fix that, don't I? Is presented as a command. It's something we don't have the choice to do. We are to choose to obey God by yielding to our authorities. And it assumes that we disagree with them by even telling us that. Right? Submission itself is righteousness. In our family, we've had some challenges in our past, and one of the things that's kind of surfaced is, well, I've chosen to obey God rather than to please your parents. And that was the term used, please. And for the life of me, as I study the word, pleasing your parents is obeying God unless your parents are asking you to do something that God clearly says not to do or to do, right? Okay? And I'm just sharing that from my heart. I'm not sharing that as an antagonist or as I'm not sharing it out of arrogance either. I'm sharing that I want to know the truth and I want to obey the truth and I want my children to do the same. But obeying your parents is obeying God unless your parents are asking you to do something that God has clearly stated not to do or that you need to do it because God has clearly stated that you need to do that. And it still does not erase your relationship. Listen, it doesn't erase your relationship to your authority, your parents or otherwise. It requires you to yield under them and suffer the consequences. As we see in the life of Jesus, who went ahead and was crucified, even though it was wrong for Pilate to let him be crucified. The apostles were beaten by the Sanhedrin for preaching in the name of Christ, even though the Sanhedrin was wrong in commanding them not to do that. They went away rejoicing. I just read this yesterday because I'm developing our further studies. I study a lot, and then I got to come back and, you know, what are we going to talk about today? But they went away rejoicing, counting themselves. Yes, he most definitely can. Thanks. You can sit right here, okay? But the apostles went away rejoicing that they were counted the privilege to suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus, which you're like, wow, that's kind of different. I'm happy because I was beaten or something. And it's like, if you understand the concept of authority and that God is directly claiming responsibility and authority over your authorities, it'll change how you view your authority. And we'll see that in more detail. You'll just have to, we'll talk about it as we go, but you'll see it. It'll make sense as we go. It's like, you know, that's different than the way I've looked at it. I've always fought for my rights. I've always sought that. And the Bible doesn't approach it from that way. Okay? Because God is in control. If you believe that about God, it changes the way you see it because God is in control not only of you, but of also your authorities. and that makes a difference. That doesn't mean you always do what your authorities say, but when you have to disobey your authority, that does not violate the authority structure that God has placed you under. You disobey knowing that you are still under that authority, and you suffer the consequences as needed. And you do so humbly. We'll see that Jesus, when he was reviled, did not revile back. For example, Jesus is our example in this. Okay? We're not sitting there taking our proverbial beating, arguing against our authority. We're understanding that God knows what he's doing even in the midst of my suffering. Okay? Each word is a command. Submission itself is righteousness. Not yielding to our authorities is sin. In the United States of America, that sounds ridiculous. But we are not independent. We never have been independent. We are under the authority of God and all of the authorities God has placed us under. And we are responsible to yield to them unless it violates clear commands of God. And then we are still under that authority. Okay? Questions so far. That's all review. Questions. There's got to be questions. Les, there's 5 more pieces of bread, buddy. You want another piece?
No, I don't think
so. Are you sure? That was my question. Anyone got a question so far? How many so far, this is a little bit different than the way you've been thinking? Than the way you grew up, the way you... That isn't the way... I don't naturally lean this way. I naturally want to go my way no matter what situation I'm in. I'm just being honest. Lynn knows sometimes my frustrations at work. Because you know what? I've shared before, I'm his boss, but I'm not the boss. I go the direction, not that I want to go, that the authority structure tells me to go. And I don't often agree with that. And the answer is, so what? Right? I think, at times, the speed limit should be different. And I've looked very hard to find a verse, because if I knew that I was obeying God rather than men, I would put the pedal to the metal. But I can't find it. Marv. Yes.
And I've been trying to wait and see. I tried avenues. And if the door is open, okay. I say I have a problem. And the latest one was a miracle. And the system is dealing with the bathtub. The faucet, my fluid, the rubber came out of there.
Yeah.
And
yep.
I bought one years ago down Southwest Side. But I looked and looked and looked and I could not find one. Well, I ended up going to Walmart and I bought an El Cheapo and put it on. It worked, but it didn't work. Yeah, he had one, but he got one. So I went home and I waited a couple of days. And I thought, well, I'm going back to Home Depot. I went back to Home Depot and talked to a guy that was a plumber there. I told him my problem. And he asked me, yeah, I said, I see that. I said, I don't think you can switch it off. Or you might. I said, what would they have to think? He said, well, I'll tell you. He said, the place down here, you have to go back to Hickman and go down and it's called Forest Street. Anyway, I said, well, what is it? He told me down the road across the cellar, the girls, for their cookies and stuff, way at 4-H.
Okay.
And go stop there. So he said, go right to the end, right there, big building. So I did, that was nice. And I showed her, I told the girl what I needed. She said, oh, go here. I'm done to display it. Let's go back and talk to the board here.
All right.
God created a miracle.
Was it cheaper?
It was a dollar more.
Oh, but it was right there. Yeah.
I said, I'm buying it. Okay. And then I read afterwards when I got on, this is cash, not returnable. This is yours. No returnable. So then I thought, well, look, it's the thing was too big for your own deal. So I prayed about it when I went to bed. Next day I put it on.
Not a problem.
It worked better than the old one did. But there was a miracle and an answer to prayer.
Yeah. The bottom line is God can control every detail, can he?
I didn't mean to go into such detail, but no. I'll tell you what happened.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. God runs every detail. He's the God of details, isn't he, Marv? A big part of following God's leadership is patience, isn't it? Waiting on God. Good. Annie. It's even more interesting to focus on somebody else's responsibility.
I had to focus on my responsibilities, regardless if it will be reciprocated or not.
Right.
God would hold me accountable.
Right.
And it made me read First Peter 3 many times.
Because
my
godly
example,
even
without the word.
Right. Without the word, the husband can be one. So absolutely. That doesn't come natural either, does it? No. So, and I think that's true of all of us. We want to stand up for our rights and point out how other people aren't doing what they're supposed to or whatever, and ignore ours. We give a lot of grace toward ourselves, don't we? Okay, let's turn the sheet over then. I list the Greek words again at the top. Because as we go through these different realms and the verses, I number them so that you know what word it is, if that makes sense. Okay, you see at the end of the verses, you see a number, and it tells you which word is being used. Okay, so we're looking today at a believer's Godward submission responsibilities. Okay, and I've categorized them into four. Godward, family we looked at last week, church submission responsibility, and then outward, which maybe is better off divided into two separate ones, but that's just the way I've broken them up here. But we're just going to look at two. There's only two blanks to fill in today, but we're going to read all these verses, and what I want you to do is evaluate the verses as we cover them and see exactly what is it saying. So we're going to kind of dissect these verses a little more. So number one, and the reason why we list these first is your first and foremost highest authority is God, right? So believers have to submit to God. That's number one. It's not a Not a hard one. You probably could have guessed it. You could have maybe filled it in without me ever being here. It's not that hard. Okay? Let's look at Ephesians 5:24 here. It says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ. And that's the phrase we're looking at here, okay? Because the other part is the family responsibility that we're going to look at later, okay? So, just as the church is subject to Christ, and notice it's got a number one at the end of the verse. So, you go up to the top and it's, which word is it then? Hupotasso, it's the number one word. You see how this works? Yeah, so it's hupotasso. It's we're, just as we're submissive to Christ. The church is to follow Christ. So you can put that off to the side, maybe in the margin or whatever. But the church is subject to Christ. The church is to follow Christ. That's a submission responsibility. Did you know that our church is supposed to follow Christ? Isn't it funny when we preach this passage, it's usually the wives to the husbands, right? Isn't that? It's always the context, right? I mean, we might bring up the church, but it's always, okay, wives, get with it, okay? But it, just as the church is subject to Christ, Christ is the head of the church. And so therefore we are to follow Christ as the head. We always say here that the pastors lead the church, but Christ is the head of the church. The pastors are not independent thinkers. We are to do what Christ wants, and we are to lead the way Christ wants, not to do our own thing. We're not here as some kind of creative writing class. We are to figure out what Christ has said, do our best to rightly divide the word of truth, and then to tell you that and to lead you in that direction. That is our job as pastors. And as a church, that's why I think I came out last week too. I do not believe in congregational rule. In fact, I don't believe in pastoral rule. I believe that Christ rules the church. It is not whether the majority wants something or not. Follow me, right? It's whether or not God says it or not. And whether 99 out of 100 people vote no, it doesn't change the will of God at all. It doesn't matter whether all the pastors agree or not. It's what God says, and that is what must end. That doesn't mean we can't have disagreements. We will, right? We talked about that. Submission is assuming that you disagree, right? Okay? It doesn't mean that there aren't differences of opinion. But if God says something, we don't have to vote on it. And folks, the problem with our country, we've gone from living by God's commands and principles to majority rule. So now we say, what do you think about marriage? And for some reason, we care about the polls. Like I heard the other day, a guy said there's still 51% of the people think that abortion is wrong. Folks, it doesn't matter if only 1% of the people think abortion's wrong. It doesn't make it any more right. Okay? And what I'm appalled with is that 49% think it's right. It's okay. That's what baffles me. Okay? But understand that the church is subject to Christ. He calls the shots. Okay? And then where God has not defined the details, you know, He doesn't tell us what classes to have, how many sessions to have, how many sermons. He doesn't even tell us what to preach on. And to me, the hard part is not what to preach on, it's what not to preach on, because there's so much. Okay? But He doesn't tell us where to hold meetings. What time did I already say time to hold meetings? He doesn't tell me to wear a tie or not. Okay, all of the, there's a lot of, He doesn't tell us to use a hymn book or not. He doesn't tell us whether to use notes or not, okay? Those are flexibility things. But He tells us we're to preach the word, we're to be instant in season and out of season, we're to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That is not an option. We are to be subject to Christ, okay? And that is the direction, and by God's grace, we will do that to the best of our abilities God gives us for as long as we're here. Right? We're subject to Christ. Look at the next verse. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. The Bible doesn't say that in a bad way. It states it as though that's the right thing. It's a good thing. Shall we not much more readily, much more responsively be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Okay, we obey our parents, we obey our earthly fathers, and that's not wrong, that's right, but we are much more readily to obey the Father of spirits. We're to be in subject to Him. So that is our highest authority. God is our highest authority. We have to submit to God, to place ourselves under God. And again, it's the number one, hupotasso, to place ourselves under, submit to Him. By the way, God will never lead us wrongly. We may misunderstand what God is saying, but God will never get it wrong. God will never lead us towards sin. God will never make a mistake. If there's any kind of error, it's on the part of us, the followers. So submitting to God is a no-brainer, isn't it? Isn't it great to have a boss that knows everything and that cares about us more than we care for ourselves? That's pretty much the best case scenario, isn't it? James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Notice it, they're kind of put in opposites. You cannot obey God and the devil. Just like I think in 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is not of the Father, but is of the world. For all that is of the world, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life are not of the Father, but are of the world. Okay, you can't love God and mammon, the Bible says in Matthew 6. All of those ideas, they're opposites. Submit to God and resist the devil. Submitting to God will require you to refuse to obey the devil. You can't do both. But submit to God, obey God. It's that number one again. Place yourself under God. You do what God says. And refuse to do what the devil is trying to get you to do. We're to submit to God and resist the devil. Questions or comments on that? Not hard, is it? Not hard to understand. Hard to do, maybe. Harder. Lynn. Yeah, I quoted actually the verse after that. You can't serve God and mammon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't serve two masters. You'll love the one and despise the other. You'll serve the one and hate the other. And then it goes on to say, you cannot serve God and mammon. Yep, exactly. Two masters. And either you're yielding to God or you are yielding to some other God that you have set up, either yourself or someone else. Okay? Believers are to submit to God, and that's the word used. It's to submit or be subject to, be in subjection to. Place yourself under God. And we probably should even use that word, place ourselves under, because submit maybe gets lost in the fog. But if we use the idea of place, I need to place myself under what God says, that makes more sense to us maybe. Number two, this is a parallel idea. They're both God, word, submission, responsibilities, okay? Believers are to be obedient to the truth. I almost put God's truth. But isn't that an oxymoron? not an oxymoron, that's a redundancy. That's what I meant to say. The only truth there is God's truth. Some people say all truth is God's truth, and I can technically agree with that. However, they go on to define the truth the way they want. And God's truth can only be defined by God's truth, which is the Word of God. Everything else is subject to the Word of God. Okay? In other words, people try to say, well, evolution is true, and therefore what the Bible says has to be modified to fit my view of what evolution is. Well, evolution, number one, is not true. That's an assumption of truth, and it's an error because it goes directly against what the Bible teaches. Okay? So that, and whether it's psychology or psychobabble, as sometimes people use the term, or whatever, they define it as being truth, but it is not what the Bible teaches, and therefore it is not what? True. Okay? So be careful. All truth is God's truth. Oh, and how do you determine what all truth is? Only by the Word of God. Remember, our hearts are wicked and deceitful, the Bible says. Jeremiah 17:9. The Bible says we will not come to God's conclusions without God's truth. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord. Help me out here. With all your heart and what? Lean not on your own understanding. Is that what the Bible says? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. The only way you can do that is through the Word of God, and He will direct your paths. Okay? You cannot come to God's truth without God's truth. My ways are not your ways, the Bible says about God. My ways are past finding out. The only way you can find them is that the Bible says that the Spirit has revealed them to us through the Word of God. The Word is rich and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide between the thoughts, or the bones and the marrow, and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Bible says you can't even govern or discern your own intentions apart from the Word of God. Okay, so be very careful what you try to listen to or talk yourself into, because it has to start and end with the Word. It has to fit the filtering of the Word of God. And be careful that you don't make the Bible say something it's not meant to say either, because you can wrongly divide the Word. Because if Paul tells Timothy to rightly divide the Word, what? That means you have to be diligent to rightly divide the Word, or to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Okay? In other words, the implication is that you will wrongly do it unless you're diligent in doing so. So be very careful. Now, with that said, believers are to be obedient to the truth, and the truth is just an extension of God. We're to be submit to God, and how do we submit to God? By knowing and obeying what His truth says, okay? Romans 6:12. This tells us what not to obey. Romans 6:12. Therefore, do not let sin reign or rule in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts or desires. Okay? We are not to obey sin or its lusts. And you can put that off to the side somewhere, okay? Because these all relate to obeying the truth, or obeying the truth instead of something else. And the something else here is sin in its lusts or desires. Living for pleasure. We mentioned that today. What feels good, do it. That was a 60s phrase, wasn't it? And God didn't say that. He says, what is good, do it, right? Even if it feels bad, like the cross, for instance. Taking up your cross, that doesn't sound like what feels good, do it, does it? No, absolutely not. Romans 6, same chapter, a little farther down. It uses several of the words here. They're the listen and understand and obey, hear and obey idea. Romans 6:16-19. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to listen to and follow, if I can expand that word obey, You are that one slave whom you listen to and follow, whether of sin leading to death or of listening and following leading to righteousness. So doesn't this word imply that we have to choose what we listen to as well? Because if we place ourselves under listening to someone, hearing under something, we have to be careful what we're listening to, yes? That could be media, that could be books, that could be magazines, that could be teachers, that could be anything that puts us there. And then listen, whatever you listen to, whenever you read, you will be impacted by that. And we'll have to, if it's falsehood, you will have to understand that it's false and reject it. Otherwise, it will become part of your teaching. It will be part of your life paradigm, how you see life. Just like we mentioned, teenagers, the highest cause of death in teenagers today is what? Suicide. And why is that? Again, people have taught them lies, and so that they have nothing to live for. And that is so wrong, because they've rejected God and the hope that God brings. The teens have no hope. And that's not true. They have hope. They're just not told about it. Obedience, listening to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you listened to and followed, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. For your listening and following has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in that in what is good and simple concerning evil. Doesn't that even imply, too, again, that we don't need to know all wickedness in order to reject wickedness? We don't have to immerse ourselves in pornography to know that pornography is wrong. We don't have to immerse ourselves in wicked conversation to know that it's wrong. The Bible says to be simple in that. We are not to be experts in sin. We're to be experts in righteousness. Just like the old-time counterfeit money people. Apparently they don't do it anymore, but they didn't study false money. They studied real money, because then they would be able to say something's wrong about this one. That's the way we should be. We don't need to know sin well. We just need to know righteousness well, and that's what it says here. We're to listen and follow. We're to obey, to listen under what God says, and that impacts what influences us. We are to choose our influences. You might want to put that off to the side. We're to choose our influences and to listen to God and to follow Him. 2 Corinthians 7 says this, and His affections are greater for you as He remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received Him. And I think it's Epaphras that came back. I can't remember. But Epaphras, or whoever the leader was, the people listened and followed him. Okay? As the truth. They listened and followed their spiritual leaders. So that could probably go into spiritual leaders as well. 2 Corinthians 10:6. This is an amazing passage here. God doesn't just want your outer conformity. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians down to arguments. And every high thing that exalts itself against thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What? God wants every thought to be under the listening and following of Christ. And notice, in being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled, God wants us to not only listen and obey, but also to actively counter disobedience. That's different in our day in our churches, isn't it? It's a lot easier to ignore sin, is it not? Isn't it easy to ignore sin? God wants us to be ready to punish all disobedience when your listening and obeying is fulfilled. Thessalonians 3:14. And this is kind of, as you read the Bible, let me challenge you with this. look at how strong the church was in the early church, that not only taught, could teach the Word of God, but also could expect people to obey it. That is so foreign to our churches today. People don't like what they hear. What do? They leave or just ignore the truth. Usually leave. Notice what it says here. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and what? What is the church supposed to do? If you have heard the truth and do not obey it, what are you supposed to do? You're not to keep company with that person. So that they might be ashamed. Now, what does a church do? They weaken the church when churches receive other people that leave churches. Now, again, we're not saying there's not a reason to leave a church, but by and large, people are expected to yield under the authority of the church, the leaders and the church as a whole, because this is addressed to the church as a whole, not to keep company with them. Not just the leaders, but everyone. And that's what we in the history of Northridge have encouraged people that if we have addressed and all that, not to keep company with them. Don't act like nothing's happened. Now, what does the Bible say too? Let me clarify. The Bible goes on to say in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is in chapter 5, that he's not talking about unbelievers, because if you do that with unbelievers, you'd have to leave the world. It's talking about people that claim to be Christians but do not do that. And it lists things to the level of people that are critical. You're not to even eat with them, the Bible says. And people that want to disobey God and yet act like nothing's happening, even to the down to the gossiping factor, the Bible says we're not to have anything to do with them so that they might be ashamed and see their sin. We're to follow the truth. Philemon 1:21 says this. We're down to four passages here. Having confidence in your obedience, Paul writing to Philemon, hearing and obeying, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. What did he write to? He said, you received this slave back. What was his name? Onesimus, wasn't it? Something like that. He ran away and ended up somehow, by God's grace, crossing paths with Paul. And Paul says he's come to know the Lord, and now he's not only your servant, but your brother. And receive him back, and if he owes you anything, I'll pay. But he's now more valuable than he ever was. Okay? And he's saying, Philemon, you will obey the truth in this area and do even more than that. 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children. And literally it would be then it's the noun form. So children of obedience, literally. Not conforming yourselves to what? Sound like a stuck record? To former lusts. We are listening and obeying God rather than listening and obeying our what? Our lusts. As in your ignorance. Now that we can know and understand what God says, we can do what God wants. Notice this same chapter a little bit farther down. 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have purified your souls. How do you purify your souls? It's not some mystical thing. It's how do you purify your souls? By obeying the truth. Listening and obeying the truth through the Spirit. God enables us through His Spirit. We can't ever say we can't. Because God goes, I know, but I've given you the Spirit so you can. Right? In sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. We obey, we purify our hearts by listening and obeying the truth. Believers are to be obedient to the truth. Last one here, under this section for today, Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham listened and followed. This is a beautiful example. When he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Remember, God said, Abram, you get out from your home and your family, and you go to a place that I will show you. Pack your bags and start driving. Literally, you know, it was a camel probably, you know, it wasn't a Ford or a Lincoln or something. But he didn't know where he was going. A place I'll show you. You pack up and leave, and he ended up, it sounds like his family went with him for a while. I don't know if you remember the whole account. But then his father died in Haran, and then they continued 1,500 miles away on camel. You think you get tired sitting in a car, okay? But Abraham listened and obeyed. What, how else did he listen and obey? Using Abraham as an illustration. Go ahead. Right, and he took what? Wood? He made. 3-day journey, by the way. And he didn't wait long or what. He packed the next day. He was off early in the morning, and he went, and he would have killed his son, according to Hebrews 11, this same passage. It said, by faith, he believed that if God allowed him to kill his son, he would bring him back to life again, because he said, Isaac, in Isaac, your seed will be blessed. He was willing to follow God, whatever God said. Is that what we have chosen to do? Are we listening to God and obeying Him? Are we placing ourselves under God? And are we listening and following what God says? That is where authority and submission to authority starts, and it can't get beyond there. Okay? That's my challenge for you today. Affirm before God that He is your highest authority and that you will follow Him no matter what, and then you will listen to what He says and you will do what He says to the best of your ability, because the Spirit has enabled you to do that. That's my challenge for you today. Questions? Comments? That's where we start, with God. God's our highest authority. And guess what? He has placed you under other authorities. That's where we're going next week. We're going to talk about family submission responsibilities. I don't know if I'm going to slice it into one or two pieces, probably just one. We'll lump them both together next week, okay? Let's pray, and then if you don't mind, just join me for a few minutes in the auditorium, okay, for the starting block. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your truths. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that indwells us, that enables us to obey you. Lord, help us to desire to know your truth and obey it. Lord, before you, we submit to you. We place ourselves under you no matter what. And we seek your truth to hear it and obey it. Thank you for your help in this. And Lord, we do humbly seek your help to hear and obey you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.